Our first Bible reading for this morning comes from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all in making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel, from the first day until now, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to a completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, in both my imprisonment and my defense, and in confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearned for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more, and with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory of praise of God.
Our second passage is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. The end of all things is at hand, therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, I have so much I want to say, and I'm not sure how to get it all done. So if I seem like I'm scrambling through pages, it's because I'm trying to figure out how to get this all done before 3 o'clock this afternoon. So I'm just excited to get to share just a few minutes with everybody and you guys as seniors especially, and as we study the word of the Lord. And so it's a special time for these seniors. It's a special group. And so I just want to do something a little bit different this morning. And I said it last year when we did this, and I'll just say it again, that you're going to hear a message that maybe you're thinking, oh, it's only geared for seniors. But in reality, it's something that all of us need to hear. And it's probably a reminder for you in your lives as well. So I'll just kind of say that. And so let's just pray as we go into this. Father, let your truth come out. Equip each of us, especially these seniors, as we look forward to what you have in store for our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so there really is just so much I wish I could tell you. I'm just going to try to hit a couple of things quickly as we go. So, you know, the founding fathers had this idea, right, that the pursuit of happiness was the goal. You know, if you asked most people in your lives, like, what's life about? It really would, most would say something about, we just, you know, maybe you've had friends and teachers and maybe even parents, and I know why we say it. It's like, we just want you to be happy. But I'm going to just kind of push back on that a little bit this morning to say, I don't think that's the answer for us, is that the goal is to be happy, at least not in the way that we normally think about it. You see, Jeremiah 17:7 says, happy is the one who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. And so if we're talking about that kind of happiness, parents, you can say that, and I'm okay with that, right? If that's the kind of happiness we're talking about, I'm all in. But you know, if you listen to all the voices that are out there around you, we're just bombarded by these messages that happiness is to be found in a marriage, that happiness is to be found in a career, that happiness can be found when you have a certain amount of money, that happiness is found, right, through your children or some sort of success, or maybe it's if you get to the retirement at an early age and you have the funds that you wish that you had, and right, that's what success really looks like. So that's the goal that we're chasing. And let me just tell you guys now at this starting point where you are, that just kind of as a warning, you will end up disappointed if you chase any of those things as like the source of your happiness. Those things just simply aren't big enough to support your happiness. They won't hold up. And so if you'll just allow me to, I want to kind of walk through my big idea that in my humble opinion, if you'll commit to it early, You will not only be more biblically faithful, I think you'll be happier in life, and you'll have more freedom than anybody else around. And so here's my idea, and I think the Bible will back it up, and that is, our lives are to be lived out so that everything is for God's glory. Our lives are lived so that everything is for God's glory. And so I think the best way to talk about living for God's glory is to go back in time and share with you kind of maybe my life and Beth's life as well, and some of the lessons we've learned on this topic. So seniors, I thought about it. I'm like, you guys have deserved, you've earned the right. She has no idea what's coming, by the way. She's about to panic. But you've earned the right to hear our, you know, in Marvel terms, our origin story. So I'm just going to kind of give you some of this. So here's a first picture. This is my senior photo, and that guy had no clue what was coming up in his life. But I'll just kind of give you my past. I was a youth group junkie. Like, I went to other people's youth groups too, just so I could get more. Like, I went on everybody else's trips, and you know, some people called me a Bible beater. I don't know, that was a phrase back then. I don't know if that's a thing around here, but that's what, that was like my nickname. It's like, oh, he's this youth group nerd, this Bible beater guy. And, you know, I always had my quiet time. I never did anything wrong. But there was, just ask my parents, right? But there was something missing. There was something missing. And in a word, I'll just say it was love. It was love. My love for God and my love for others was missing. And so I had you read Philippians 1 a little bit. I'm just going to read that last part again, 9 through 11. It says, my prayer is that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may be, so that you may approve what is excellent and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And he goes on, he says, that you be filled with righteousness so that you can have, all of that is for the glory and the praise of God. The reason he wants all of this for us is so that we would have, be able to glory and praise God. And so Paul's prayer for his dear friends is that they love God more, and that they would look more like Jesus every day to the praise and the glory of God. And so you can't glorify God if there's no love. And so I think about this guy who was just like a by-the-rules, strict guy and kind of a jerk about other people whose sins were way worse than mine. There was love missing, and it's hard to glorify God that way. In fact, you can't do it. And so the biggest thing you guys can do to glorify God in your life is to love him with all your heart and then learn how to love your neighbor. It's not about looking righteous. It's not about impressing other people, but it's setting your eyes on Christ. And so it's a lifelong pursuit. Make that your focus, not any other kind of success. So after a few years, I was graduating college, and I wasn't really sure what was next. I thought I was called to ministry, but I didn't want to do youth ministry. And I said, you know, God has not called me to do youth ministry ever, but I was starting to feel like I was a pretty big deal, and God needed me, and like I was His gift to the world. And so, but I got some advice from some people that kind of said, hey, look, it might be good for you to do some youth ministry, and so I said, okay, fine, I'll do it. But God, here's the deal: I'll do it for a little while, but never again, right? And I told him my plan. I told him, God, I'll never do youth ministry again, but I'll do it for this little period of time. And so I'm doing youth ministry, and my boss comes and he says, hey, it's time for you to plan a foreign mission trip. And I said, God hasn't called me to foreign missions either. I'm just kind of tolerating this youth thing for a while. And you know, I kind of said it spiritually. I'm not called to do that. And he, as a boss, gently encouraged me that I needed to get in line. And then also discipled me and said, hey, don't be so set in your ways. Let God do something in you. Don't be so set. And so I grudgingly went. But I will say God worked in my heart, and you heard from these students kind of say this mission trip did something in my heart that I saw something new. And so he's helping me stay open-minded, and he softened my heart. And so here's a picture of me on that mission trip that I didn't want to go on. I was doing youth ministry, and it was amazing. God like opened my eyes. I'm in Belize, which is in Central America. It's just off the tip of Mexico, if you're not sure where that is. But it was a life-changing trip for me. And it taught me a lot about loving God, which we talked about as the goal, and learning how to love others. But there was another part of that trip. You see, there was this girl who was on that trip. Let me show you a picture of her. Maybe you know who that is. So this girl was on that trip, and we knew each other. We were friends, but this trip, something changed, right? The more that we were around each other, the more there was something going on, and people were like, hey, what's the deal with y'all? And we're like, you guys would say talking in your generations. We didn't have that term yet, but anyway, she has no idea that I'm doing this. There's another picture. But so she said yes to that trip as well, and it really just became something that was life-changing for both of us, and maybe the next picture. By the end of it, the two of us have kind of figured out that there's something more happening here. So I'm just throwing these in for you seniors. Here's the next picture. So after that, we start dating, and we date pretty quickly. Like, we figure this out. So this is the day we got engaged. And again, this is just origin story for y'all. And then we got married right after that. So this is us. Again, more of just of that origin story. I feel like it's a little unfair, though. Like, Beth hasn't aged a day in any of these pictures, as you can notice. I wish I could say the same. It hasn't been true for me. But, so we get married, go to seminary, and that was great. And I graduate seminary, and I'm, like, ready to get started with my agenda. I've been working for years for this, but God had other plans. And so, long story short, God made it really clear that he had something else in mind, and it had nothing to do with me, and I was pretty upset about it. Beth got a phone call saying, hey, we want you to serve in foreign missions again. We want you to come back to Belize and be a missionary. And I was upset. Upset is not even the right way to describe it. But we said, okay, God, if we're going to live for your glory, then we have to say yes to things, even if it's not exactly what I had in mind. So we moved back to Texas, and she started doing mission work. And so God was at work, and the question kept coming up in our lives is, will you serve me in whatever I ask to do? Maybe it doesn't look like what you had planned. Will you serve me in whatever I ask to do? And so I was actually doing all different kinds of random jobs while Beth was doing mission work, and I, like I said, I was not happy about that. And then out of randomly, some person walked up to me in the job that I was doing and just said, hey, as we interacted, they said, have you ever taught Bible? And I was like, well, in fact, I have a seminary degree. I'm really smart in Bible. And they're like, we want you to teach Bible at this Christian school. Would you do that? And so, but I was like, but I wasn't called into youth ministry. Remember, God, we made a deal that I wouldn't have to do that ever again. And I was pretty upset again. I'm like, God, are you kidding me? I've got to go back into youth ministry. This is terrible. So, let me show you a couple more pictures, because God just continued to laugh at our plans. So this is Beth in Belize again. She's riding a horse, which is like her perfect day, by the way. She's riding a horse in Central America inside a building in Belize, which is kind of strange, but doing ministry by what she's up to. So she's doing this just by saying yes to God. There's another picture. So again, she has no idea that I'm doing this, but this little boy in the orange, his name is Moses, and you'll have to ask Beth the story. I'll let her tell it someday, but he would probably not be alive if Beth hadn't been a part of just the most incredible story probably I've experienced in my life in ministry, but I had nothing to do with it. It was me getting to watch Beth save this boy's life, like literally save his life, and again, that's a story for another time, but literally save his life. And here's another story. On the far right of this, the mom of this family, her name is Tina, and Beth had a hand in saving her life, literally, not just like spiritually and figuratively, but literally saving her life, and got to work in just amazing ways because she said yes to something that we didn't want to say yes to originally. And so But we kept continuing to just say yes. Next picture. Somebody was like, Beth, you know something about volleyball. Would you ever be willing to coach? And she said yes, and years and years later go down the road. Here's her and the state championship team that she was at 2013, the one state in Texas in 2013. Working with youth, which we said we weren't going to do anymore. She had stopped working in Belize at that point, but we're both working at a Christian school, and she's coaching. So there's the 2013 state champs. And 8 years later, here's, I guess, maybe my last kind of picture. So this is my very last prom. 8 years of teaching these goober high school kids that I didn't want to work with. They all knew that this was my last event, and so they were like, we got to take a picture. And so there's that again, after I said I would never work with students again. So why am I showing you all of this? I promise you it's not to brag or to show that we figured it out. In fact, it's all the opposite. We have bumbled and struggled and stumbled our way through everything that we have done in life. As we've learned this key biblical concept that if you guys will learn it now, I think will be helpful, and that is, it's not about you, it's not about me, it's not about us. It's about living for him and bringing him glory. And so that First Peter passage that I had you guys read, it says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality with one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And then he says, if you speak, right, speak oracles of God. If you serve, serve it by the strength that God supplies. And so that, right, and here's the big purpose statement, in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So this passage tells us that the way to glorify God is to love one another, to use our gifts and opportunities in life to serve him with all our heart. And so I don't know if God's going to have you be a missionary in Belize or not, but whatever you're going to do, you have the ability to love God and help others as you share with them the love of Christ. Kind of as some practical wisdom for all of that, I want to just share two things quickly that we have learned in our lives about living for the glory of God. And so the first is that living for God's glory is, and making it about him versus making it about you, is that there's really a great freedom in this kind of life. And I've worried a lot in my life about big decisions, right? So like, where should I go to college, and who should I marry, and what should I do with my life? Where should I live? And, you know, you just name it. And every human stresses over those big questions and those decisions. And you were all at ending a chapter where most of the decisions were made for you. I mean, you had a little bit of freedom, but most of it was, you know, made for you. And that's about to change, right? Some of these decisions are going to be less up to people around you and more just up to you. And I really do hope that you care about doing God's will, because I think that's the noble thing to pursue. And the big part in that is to struggle with, how do I do that? How do I do that? And how do I know what God's will is, right? That's the question we have all asked hundreds and thousands of times. How do I know what God's will is? And I will just say, in my life, that question has paralyzed me. I don't want to do the wrong thing. What if I'm not doing God's will by going this way and I go that way and, you know, whatever? So I'm not going to move until I know exactly what God wants me to do. Well, let me just again say, there is freedom in living your life for the glory of God. Because, hear me carefully, if you are studying God's word, if you're surrounded by other believers who are helping you and encouraging you, and you are praying for God's leading in your life, then there's a great weight that can be taken off your shoulders. There's a great freedom that comes as a result of that. We don't have to stress and worry that we'll miss God's will and ruin our lives. In Scripture, whenever someone has tried to do the right thing and they thought they knew God's direction and they went after that, he's never been mad at them or punished them for going in the wrong direction, ever. My favorite story is in Acts chapter 17, where Paul is trying to follow God's will, and he says, I think I'm supposed to go east, and I'm going to go to Asia, and he tries. I mean, this is Paul, like this is the guy, and he doesn't know exactly which way God wants him to go. That's liberating, by the way, right? If Paul doesn't always know, then you and I sure won't. But so he says, I'm going to try to go east. I'm going east to serve God. And the Lord just stops him. And we don't know what that even means. We just know it stopped him. Didn't punish him. Didn't send, you know, he just said, hey, nope. In fact, I want you to go this way. And he gave him direction to go a different direction. God didn't ruin his life. I don't think you'll ever know 100% what God wants you to do in your decisions, which college you're supposed to pick, or, you know, I mean, just the whole list, right? I don't think you're ever going to know 100%. There are some that are easy, right? There are some things you can eliminate. I know God doesn't want me to do these things, and that's good, right? We use God's word to eliminate the obvious ones. And then we pray, and we seek wise counsel, and we move forward with confidence. If he doesn't want you to go somewhere, he'll shut your door. He'll shut it. So if you want to pursue being a doctor, great, go for it. You're not going to find it in Scripture, thou shalt be a doctor. You're just not going to find it. You've just got to go. If that's what you feel like you're supposed to do, you go for it. And it'll happen if it's supposed to. If you're going to go play in the WNBA, I hope you can. That'd be amazing. I hope he opens all those doors and that happens. You go for it. There's freedom in pursuing that. And you'll know when it's time to stop, right? You'll know. If you're committed to glorifying God and the things you want to do, there's so much freedom in it. You don't have to worry if God's going to squish you for making a wrong decision. He doesn't do that. When we were, you know, living in Texas, we were trying to figure out what was next for us. Illinois was not at the top of our list. No offense, it wasn't. I was telling somebody, there was another church in Tucson, Arizona, and people were like, well, then why did you come to Illinois instead of Tucson, Arizona? It just happened, right? We were committed to glorifying God and wherever that was. And so we just said, God, I don't know. We're going to stop telling you where we think we should go, and you just direct it and let it happen. And there's freedom in letting him decide that. Would he have punished us? Right, if we were supposed to move to Tucson, Arizona, do you think he is punishing us now with these cold winters? Is that what's happening here? No. There's freedom because he would have closed this and we don't have to worry. We don't have to ever have second guess that. He opened the doors to make that happen. And so here we are. And so now we have the confidence and the freedom to just say, whatever we do today, we're doing it for the glory of God. And it's really a simple, much easier life. And that's freedom. You know, a lot of people think living for God's will is this restrictive, secret path that you gotta navigate or else you're in deep trouble. And I've come to learn it's the opposite. Right? Had I become a welder, God would have blessed that. And I would have served God for his glory in that way and helped other people know Jesus as a welder or a mechanic or a farmer or whatever it is that I had pursued to go do. There's freedom in it. And he'll shut the doors he doesn't want you to follow. There's freedom. Okay, last thing. We have learned that living for God's glory is closely tied to our happiness. What is awesome and true about God is that the times you are most satisfied in him are the times that God gets the most glory. So that means our happiness and his glory actually end up going hand in hand. Psalm 16:11 says, "In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Hear me say this. The world has sold you that, you and everyone else, that God doesn't want you to have any fun, and that living for God means a boring life and having God always wanting to crush your happiness. Like, that's what most people think. Like, if you say, I want to live for God, they go, oh, sorry, that's going to be really, really terrible. That message is everywhere, but it is a lie. It's a lie. The world is trying to sell you a counterfeit happiness, a fake one. And so I'm taking a big theological idea and trying to like simplify it, but think peanut butter and jelly, okay? And this isn't perfect, so if you know where I'm going, it's okay. Jelly by itself is all right, but when it's together with peanut butter, that's when it's awesome. Jelly, just jelly? Nobody just wants jelly. You're the jelly. Okay? God is the peanut butter. Now, peanut butter doesn't need us. He wants us because he loves us, but he doesn't need us. All right? So let's not, I don't want to mess that up with this peanut butter jelly thing. But when we are with God, when our lives are lived for him the way they're supposed to, then we are now in a place where there's greater joy and greater happiness because they go hand in hand. Our lives have been anything but boring. If you just ask Beth, I mean, who's ridden a horse in Central America inside a building, right? And I've got hundreds of Beth stories for things like that that are just crazy. Living for God is anything but boring. But when we value God, when we cherish and praise him, his glory comes with it. His glory comes with our pursuing him and his delight. C.S. Lewis said that people spontaneously praise what they value. And so like when you go to an amazing concert or a sporting event, you don't plan it. You didn't write out, well, here's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to clap. And no, it takes over you and you just spontaneously praise. February 27th of this year, some of you know that date probably, I was at a gym in Rock Falls, and I didn't even know where Rock Falls was until that day. You guys are shaking your heads. You know what February 27th is. I was in this gym, and it was one of the most exciting things I've ever been a part of. And I had nothing to do with it. I was just a spectator, right? But I couldn't contain myself. And in fact, I had said, oh, I'm going to be preaching soon. I better not scream my guts out. And I couldn't help it. I just had to. Because we got down, and I say we, I mean Stillman Valley, okay? So Byron, folks, I'm sorry for this story. It's just too good to tell. So, you know, we played a terrible first half. We were down big at first half, and I thought, oh, man, it's over. It's okay. But they just... Our girls' basketball team slowly came back and slowly came back and slowly. And the next thing you know, the place was going ballistic. You couldn't hear yourself think. I was screaming my head off. It was one of the most exciting things ever. And guess what? I'm praising in that moment because that's what we do when we're excited, when we love something. And that's what life with God is meant to look like. It's not meant to be this boring, rigid thing. Praising God with our lives just happens because we love him, because we're overcome with him in excitement. And so when we are in his presence, there is excitement, there is joy. A worship service like this, although sometimes it can feel stuffy, it's not supposed to be. The jelly goes from being okay to being great with the peanut butter. There's happiness in his presence and in glorifying him. And so I really need to be done. I'm so sorry. I'm good. But and there's so much more I wish I could tell you, but I want you to have the most joyful life possible. And if you want that too, it will not be found living a selfish life for yourself. Don't go that way. Decide now. I don't want to just live my life for myself. Every day you can say, God, I want joy and satisfaction. And I know that that's only found by being with you. By knowing you and loving you more. Help me live in a way that glorifies you. Help me love others. You can commit every day to doing that, and everything changes. And this is the true pursuit of happiness. And so anyone in this room, no matter the age, you can change. If you're not doing this, there's always time to change. You can change directions on that. If you say, oh, I've actually been going the wrong direction, and I've kind of lived for myself and my own junk, we can ask him, we can ask God to change that trajectory. Seniors, Beth and I pray for you as you complete high school that God would just continue to grow and complete the good work that he began in you. Beth said it, we heard it in Philippians 1 again. And he will, he's promised to do that. And so if you will follow him, you'll just find a freedom and a joy in life that you could never find another way. If you ever need anything, I'll just say this on Beth's behalf and mine. We're here to support you. We've done weddings of some of these seniors and people we've taken to Belize, and that we talk to them all the time. And we want to do that with you all as well, to just be a part of your amazing journey, whatever that continues to be. But a life lived for God's glory will be the happiest, most joyful, most complete life you could ever live, because you will delight in him over all things. Let's pray together. Father, help us to delight in you. We don't even know how to do that on our own. We are so selfish by our own nature that we just want to delight in ourselves. Father, but you can change our hearts, you can change our minds, you can change our everything. That we would begin to delight in you. And so, Father, let us learn what that means. Let us truly want to delight in you. Let us truly want to praise you. And that it would just be a natural overflow of our hearts, spontaneously, like a basketball game. We just couldn't help ourselves at how much we delight in you. Father, that is what I want for my life and for everyone here, including these seniors. God, you are good, and we thank you. We praise you. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.